temperature seekers. As young guys on the farm, maybe I was 7, and my cousins were 5 and 7 and 9, and we would be playing around the barn at harvest time, watching the horses come in with the hay. Didn't bale stuff in those days, just people out in the fields, they had pitchforks, and they gathered the stooks up, and they stooked it up so that you could stick your pitchfork in there, give it one turn, and whip it right up onto the wagon, pulled by four horses. That's basically how the farm horses earned their living. During harvest time, they towed the stuff around. Unless, of course, you had sugar bush. And if you had sugar bush, then in the old days, before the motorized deals, the boys would go out there with the big long sleds and pails, and the horses would tow the sleds through the sugar bush. And so the horses earned their living plowing. I mean, it was a busy life for farm horses, Knob and Nell. But particular version of farm horses, having a copy of completely lost the fucking thread here. What was I on about? I don't think I started off on farm horses at all. Did I? No. I was talking about reading the temperature. As kids, we crawled under the hay mow and felt for the heat, internal combustion. Especially when the wagon load of hay towed the stuff over to the barn, where they tossed it all up into the upper area, the loft, and they stacked it up in there. It wasn't baled, so they just piled it up. But internal combustion can burn down a barn in about an hour and a half. In fact, it's not uncommon for a 100-year farm to have the barn burned down 3 times at least. The house once, for sure. So fire was always a big danger in the old days, especially out there in the lonely area. But, it wasn't all that lonely, but it was out there. It'd be quite lonely, because every evening about 7, there's somebody would knock on the door and have a pint or drink or something, and we'd have a little sing-song for a bit, maybe, and at least once a week, anyway. You know, people pop by. But, unless you were really rude, that's not who we were. So have them come in and have a drink. But taking the temperature of the hay mow, this was serious business. Farmers came in all around to help hay with the hay, and so would the ladies would cook up long, big old suppers at lunch, hot lunch, and the guys would come in, and they'd start pretty just after dawn, after the dew went down. Though you can't start loading up wet hay. But once the dew went off the land, then boys would go out there, and the farmers from all about. And they would start haying. Guys brings the horses out from the barn, maybe 2 or 3. Depends how many acres you're haying, really. 200-acre hay field, that's pretty big for a small farm. Let's say you've got a small farm and you're going to hay about 40 acres. Now, that's quite a bit. You start haying that, you're worked out. So we'd have one team, and out they'd come, and the boys would go out there, all the neighbors, and the kids. We could run around picking up stuff, and we did. And then lunchtime came, and all the guys came in, and they sat long. They set up long tables out back by the woodshed, and put nice tablecloths on, and there were some flowers, and really wonderful food. Everybody, we sat on long picnic bench type deals, and everybody crowded in, and some of us, our feet couldn't even touch the ground. We were just sitting there on the bench, stuffing the stuff in, and then. After lunch, the whole repeating process goes, except that our job now began, the squirmers. And so we would head out and go up into the payloft, and we would start rooting around in the mall. And the thing about that was it could be great fun, because you could dive right into the thing, and wrestling would begin. It wouldn't take long for wrestling to start. And so we're all flinging each other all about. And meanwhile, we're all keeping aware that it might be fire. I'm not going to be fire itself, but there's going to be warmth, and you're going to be monitoring that warmth, because you're going to be asked about it later on by large people. So you're quiet in there. You're diving around. And then, of course, there's the big hole in that looks down into where the cows are. And down below, that's where the cows are, and there's a crib. There's a crib in there where the hay is tossed down into, and you toss it down from up above, and then we would go down below and spread it out all along where the cows are going to be. And in those days, I think we milked 12, 14, not many. they were hand milked, and then in those days there was no refrigeration for them, so. The next morning, the equipment got cold on the barn. It never warmed up much in there. But in the morning, we'd put them in these cans, milk cans, and in the morning they were taken out to the road where the milk truck came, and the guy picked them up and dropped off the ones from yesterday. And, I don't know. You had a stoop out there, and you could put six cans out there. You're not going to get an awful lot of milk from 12 cows. Well, some. But you put your cans out there, and the guy would come. I would never involve him. That was heavy. Those things were 5-gallon milk things. Plus, they weighted the can itself. So you're talking. So, yeah. Well, so we're diving around, and you throw the hay down there. So you got to be careful when you're diving about up there, you know, and get too high on the, just on the whole, all of it. And then throwing the hay down, and the hay cows would come in, and then they'd stick their heads through the thing or over the top, and they'd lean into this crib, and they'd eat all this hay, and it was wonderful. And there could be 12 cows' heads on one side and 3 or 4 kids stuffing the hay in the other side. So, kind of a test match. You don't want to be bucking heads, eh? Not with a cow. So, yeah, right. Well, the Canadian either, for that matter. They say you can't kill a Canadian by hitting them over the head. So bucking heads wasn't going to be something you'd want to do with the cow, for sure. But, so you had this huge hole, and you know what? Barns. Barns are wonderful places. They're like cathedrals. The light comes through the dust and all the floating particles, and little rays of dust come floating down, and it's quiet, and it's huge, and there's big beams and stuff. It's very much like a church, and you can be up in there by yourself, and perhaps staring out and just into the nothingness, and there's all these rays coming through, because the thing isn't airtight, you know. So, yeah. And then sometimes there's animal skins are hanging down, you know, or burlap sacks, and put some stuff up in their storage. And so they're like flopping in the bit of a breeze, so you got a bit of a breeze moving the big old skins, and you got the old beams with the goddamn light coming through. Whew, wow. Yeah, pretty cool. And there you are, a fucking kid with the 5-year-old pants, and you're staring, looking around. Well, that's a good story, but one thing about it, there's another story that goes with it. And it's a whatever. So after the haying season, you know, everybody went home, basically, and the kid, we, all of us, are going to go to school now, pretty much. I started school in the one-room schoolhouse, and because I was a talker and a bad boy, basically, well, bad boy as far as I would have crazy ideas, and then I would perform them, much to the whatever. So, yeah, so we started school in the one-room schoolhouse in Tyrone, Ontario, Canada. And I started there, I guess I was six, because they wanted to get me out of the house as fast as possible. I hid under the veranda, and then I cried all the way down the street to school. It was in Tyrone, Ontario, so I had a dirt road, and it was like a few houses on each side, and a store, and a blacksmith, and a school, and a parsonage, and a church, a United Church. I don't know. We went there. We went by carriage. Just down the street. It was just down the street, but people just got up, like, the fine horse and the buggy, and everybody got, you know, everybody got in. We would go down the street to the church, where the ladies who were nicely dressed and prepared for this occasion would go in, and the men would take the horses into the barn behind the church,